Saturday mornings, a magical time when the biggest decision was which sugary cereal would fuel your TV marathon. Was it Fruit Loops? Maybe Captain Crunch? Either way, you'd grab your bowl, dive into a sea of sugar, and let the Technicolor world of Saturday morning cartoons take over. Looney Tunes, Transformers, the Thundercats. This was peak entertainment, and we all had front row seats in our living rooms. Hey there, I'm Mr. Villain, and I've come to take you higher. On today's episode of the Let Me Take You Higher podcast, we're tapping into that sweet, nostalgic Saturday morning magic. Joining me for this wild ride down memory lane are two legends of laughter. First up, we've got LV Biz, our walking encyclopedia of retro tunes and all things 80s. He's the guy we can tell you exactly why Skeletor never skipped arm day. And right next to him, bringing enough sarcasm to make Bugs Bunny blush, is Richard Cranium, our resident insult comic, who could roast He-Man harder than the sun of Eternia. So grab a spoon, pour yourself a bowl of nostalgia, and buckle up, because we're about to dive into the neon-soaked, over-the-top, animated adventures that define the generation. It's not just a trip down memory lane. It's Saturday morning all over again. Welcome to the Let Me Take You Higher Saturday Morning Animated Show.
The villains got a plan that's slick. Richard Cranium's got comebacks quick. LV Biggs is rolling with style and swag, ready to reminisce, never drags. They're taking on trouble with a joke or two, laughing through the danger. It's the villain crew. Bad guys beware, you don't stand a chance when these three roll in. It's a comedy dance. Jokes and stories with zero care. Mr. Villain's lines of mystery. Richard's roasting foes in history. LV Biggs drops wisdom with a smile. Together they're fighting villains in style. They're taking on trouble with a joke or two. Laughing through the danger is the villain crew. Bad guys beware, you don't stand a chance when these three roll in. It's a comedy dance. No joke too small. These guys are heroes who make you fall in fits of laughter, cause they got the game. Villain Biggs and Cranium, remember the name. They're taking on trouble with a joke or two. Laughing through the danger is the villain crew. Bad guys beware, you don't stand a chance when these three roll in. It's a comedy dance.
Welcome back to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Villain, and today we're traveling back to a bygone era, the golden age of Saturday morning cartoons. Joining me and as your host, we have the two greatest comedians of the last 25 years. We've got LV Biggs, and we've got Mr. Richard Cranium. Guys, are you there?
Sort of, yeah.
Now, we're going to... I'm going to enlighten our audience and let them know what era we're from. So there are people who are listening who are Gen Z, Gen Alpha, blah, blah, blah. We are Generation X. We're a little bitty cusp of between, I think, was it like 75 and 82? We didn't get a lot of time on the planet where it comes to generational consequences, but we are the most and best known generation of today. And let me tell you guys, we're talking about Saturday morning cartoons, which you young folk don't know anything about, but we're going to teach you something today. LV Biggs, are you there? What's your response to the Saturday morning cartoons? How did you feel about it waking up in the mornings on Saturdays?
I'll tell you, back in the day, these little whippersnappers don't know a damn thing. I'm waking up to a bowl of
cherry. Good old bowl of cherry goodness. Yeah.
Sitting on a shag carpet. Turning the knob to the UHF station.
Well, don't turn that knob too hard. That's what I would tell you. That's what we're doing. But guys, well, we're not that. Okay, look, let's just be honest. Oh, so I'm going to say the Gen Xers were between the ages of what, like 43, 53-ish? But there was a time where we watched the bestest is going to be a word today, guys. I might go back to it a couple times, but we watched the bestest cartoons the world has ever seen. And what I'm going to tell you, well, come on now. Come on. And now the man who never holds back, dripping with sarcasm, and more moxie than a villain monologue, Richard Cranium. Richard, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you just said in my introduction.
Well, yeah. I was being a little grandiose, baby. It's okay, baby. Yeah. So, Richard, let me ask you.
Off the rails.
It always does. Let me ask you a question, Richard, because you know Saturday morning cartoons. You watch them. I didn't see you watching them, but I heard about it. What were some of your favorite cartoons to watch on Saturday mornings with a big old bowl of sugary goodness?
So that means that I was a child.
You were a child, it was.
I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So my favorite cartoons were G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Mask.
Ooh.
Mask.
Okay. Mask. Wait. Mask?
Man. Yes.
What was so good about Mask?
Mask.
Mask. Damn. I remember. I'm getting feedback from it.
I had the bad guy's toy, Venom.
Okay.
Where his helicopter turned into a jet.
I kind of remember this.
And the bad guy, he was the leader of the bad guy. He was a fat guy with the walrus mustache.
I have a mustache.
I'm gonna inspire to be that guy.
Okay.
So I had the good guy that was the motorcycle that turned into a helicopter.
Oh.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Well,
I found out that one when I was a kid. I was like, that's a crappy helicopter. The motorcycle was awesome, but just the blades came out from its ass, and you're like, now it can fly. I'm like, that's worse than GoBots.
Well, sometimes the blades come out of your ass. Yeah, sometimes.
Not right now.
Are you flying high on Saturday morning? No, but with that being said, so LV, let me ask, what was your favorite cartoon on Saturday morning? What did you love the most to get up and watch?
I loved the classics. I fell in love with old school Tom and Jerry.
Oh my goodness! I love that.
Hanna-Barbera
were kind of a hit for me.
Right, right.
But like Tom and Jerry, Looney Tunes, earlier when I was younger, Heckle and Jekyll.
Heckle and Jekyll.
Really?
That's a no. Don't start. No. Heckle and Jekyll was a fuck. Sorry, I don't want to curse. I get excited, and I don't want to be put in that kind of passion. But Heckle and Jekyll. What?
I'll curse for you.
Curse for me, please. So you're
today at work. He needs to let off some steam.
He needs. Oh, he's gonna let off some steam in that toilet.
No. I need to let off some steam.
Okay.
Okay. Mentioned the Flintstones and Heckle and Jekyll.
Okay, those are classics. Whether you don't like Hanna-Barbera or not, those are classics.
No, I got problems with Hanna-Barbera.
What did they do to you?
That they went from making amazing, amazing cartoons with Tom and Jerry.
Absolutely.
And when they left MGM and they created their own company and studio, they went cheap. And
I mean, they didn't have a big budget back then. And we all know it. We've seen the Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
It's on purpose. They did it on purpose.
Why would they sell
cheap on purpose?
Tell me why. Why would you say that?
so they can do a weekly cartoon.
Well, they had tons of weekly cartoons. The Jetsons, the Flintstones, Pink Panther. Oh, who else?
No, they didn't do Pink Panther. They didn't know. That's not Hanna-Barbera.
Who's well,
okay. That's a French company.
Oh, so you're like a scientist of cartoon. I love it. I just wanted to know before you spat it off on. Look, I know you hate Hanna-Barbera. We've talked about this a lot.
I don't hate it. I'm just not a big fan. I enjoy when I like Scooby-Doo.
Ooh, we're getting started.
That had an amazing idea. That's probably their best idea they've ever had.
You know how long Scooby-Doo has been around? I mean, that's one of the longest running cartoons too.
Because of the idea. The idea
okay.
took it for like over 50 years. It's 50 years. But yeah, 50 years because now it's 2024.
It is 2024 now. I know.
And yeah, Scooby-Doo is probably the best idea they ever did. And that's why they continue to just, no matter what generation, everybody knows who Scooby-Doo is.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't a fan of the production.
Yeah.
Value of your original Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Yeah.
May I ask Alex a question?
You can.
Okay. Early Hanna-Barbera or Tex Avery?
Tex Avery. Tex Avery 100%.
You knew he was going to say Tex Avery.
When he was with Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And then when he moved into MGM. Okay. Oh, my Lord. Tex Avery all the way. Tex Avery is amazing.
What is your favorite Tex Avery cartoon?
That is really hard.
Okay.
He did several Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck cartoons.
He did.
And then, of course, his famous Red Riding Hood.
I remember
one, which is freaking out with the wolf.
Yeah.
And then the ones that he did with Droopy Dog.
Droopy Dog.
Tex Avery is a genius.
He is a genius.
But if we're going to say... Oh, yeah, the Hillbilly Wolf, yeah, that was really fun.
Hillbilly Wolf is pretty
cool. Where it's a sophisticated wolf. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to talk about those classic cartoons, I'm going to have to bring up the other geniuses from Looney Tunes.
Do it.
Like Bob Clampett.
Bob Clampett was amazing. Yes, absolutely.
Greatest animation directors and writers.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly, so fun.
This is true.
One of the best.
I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Right, so you're welcome.
Everybody from Looney Tunes is Looney Tunes is the greatest cartoon ever created.
Now
ever topped it. Even Disney.
Not even okay, and I'll grant you that. Now we all know, and we watch these cartoons. We know that Looney Tunes was a little racist. Now the reason why I bring this up is not because I'm a bleeding heart African American who's always like, "Oh, you're being racist." I'm kind of that way, You could be. You're Puerto Rican. Here's the thing. And when I look at these Looney Tunes cartoons from the 1920s and 1930s, and I see Aunt Jemima with her big old flip-floppers, big old lips, the hair tied back, you know, the big bulging eyes.
That was Mammy.
Who?
She was named Mammy.
How do you know her name?
From the Tom and Jerry cartoon?
From the Tom and Jerry cartoon, one of which, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Mammy.
Oh, yeah, the maid from Tom and Jerry? Oh,
yes.
I personally a anti-racist. I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to go on the line.
Please. Please
I
do.
I don't care what people tell.
I want you to fight. I want you to be marching with me when we do this for the Looney Tunes.
Against racism.
I love it.
I'm going to say that right now.
I love it.
But...
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to our Saturday morning cartoon extravaganza. We'll be back in a little bit. This is the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. Our special guests, of course, are LV Biggs and Richard Cranium. We'll see you in 2 and 2. You're telling me you're anti-racist and you're talking about the most racist cartoon ever. Is that what we're saying?
No, it's not the most racist cartoon. There's been more cartoons that were racist.
This is a moment.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
This was a moment where the dynamite blew up
in
his face and he was all ash. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, it looked like it was blackface because it was...
Oh, my God, blackface. Don't even get me started with blackface.
It was still white and everything up was black.
Yeah.
He looked straight at the camera and he said, "Oh, I smell something burning in the kitchen." And he walks over.
Wait. Just for the audience, can you redo that impression again, please? I just need to hear it once more.
And now remember, I will.
I okay.
But as a caveat,
okay,
I am only impersonating
a racist
cartoon.
Okay,
and the people that made that cartoon.
Okay.
He said, "Oh, I smell something burning in the kitchen," and then he leaves the scene and he walks into the kitchen.
I think that's the most racist thing I've heard ever. Today.
No.
And I live in Texas.
Several Looney Tunes cartoons that are very racist.
And I live in Texas.
Yeah, there was another time where Tomcat went very racist. It was the same kind of situation, but I think like he was trapped in like a pile of coal or something.
Oh no,
like
stop that. It. Not the coal. Not the coal. Yes, and stop it.
When he pops out his, you know, the whole black face again.
Oh, wow.
And the hair were kind of like in little braids.
Oh, Jesus.
And
you mean a pickaninny? You're talking about a pickaninny. I'm gonna pick an enemy.
Something like that.
The maid goes, "Sorry, have you seen a cat?" And Thomas, and once again, just like Alex said, I'm only doing this verbatim.
Yeah.
He's like, "No, ma'am, I ain't seen no cat."
Oh, Jesus.
And it just, I mean, just goes off on that whole racial thing and just slowly slinks out of the room.
Okay. So cartoons from the bygone era, which we are talking about the Saturday morning cartoons, we all watch them. Some of them were a little racist, but those ones have been around for almost 100 years. I mean, they've been around forever. So when we get into this,
pretty close when it starts getting, when we start getting to 2030s.
Well, the 20s and 30s, there's a super racist time. But what I'm thinking about is the time between 1980s and the early 90s. Because I think the Saturday morning...
They were kind of racist, too. They were pretending not to be racist. There were some cartoons.
Yeah.
But when you turn on a cartoon and you just see all white characters,
that's
subliminal.
I think when we were growing up, guys, we all wanted to be a little white because you know you fix your credit, you get a job when you got a
I was manipulated and mind controlled.
Yeah,
to think that way.
Well, yeah.
When I grew up and I was like, hey, wait a minute.
So I mean, it's like if a Puerto Rican, a black guy, and a Mexican walk into a bar. That's what we're talking about, guys, here. I'm just kidding. We're not talking about
that.
No dogs, no shoes. That's right. We're not doing that. We're not going to do that. But the moment...
Yeah, these 80s cartoons that you say are the greatest for something.
Saturday morning cartoons are still... put apart the racism. We know it was racist. We know everything that happened in the 80s and 90s is pretty racist. We're going to say it. But there were some... there were some great moments in cartoon history. It happened every Saturday morning, for sure. 100%. Like,
I go that far.
Well, okay, you tell me. Come on, Richard, you tell me.
My opinion on this is the ideas outlived the actual product.
Okay.
Production, I should say.
Yeah.
Not product, but production, yeah.
Okay.
Those ideas, the He-Man idea, the G.I. Joe idea.
Yeah.
Because Thundercats idea.
I love Thundercats.
Cartoons.
Yeah.
Those are not very well made and hawked down to children.
No, they always gave you something to leave with. We all know what that something to leave with was.
Cartoons in the 80s? What was your question?
I said, so those cartoons always gave you something to leave with. They gave you a little, what is it? Like a little pension of wisdom that you could take with you everywhere. Didn't you feel that? Yeah.
They were forced.
Well.
Yeah. But
that's how you teach people. That's how you teach kids. Yeah.
The government forced them to do that.
Okay.
So knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, knowing is half the battle. Don't do drugs.
And that was the government walking in and saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't have a 30-minute commercial for toys. And they said, oh, we'll just add some, some great messages.
Yeah, after these messages, I'll be right. Yeah, right.
You know what? I'll blame Mr. T for that. I think he started it all.
You think it was I think it was G.I. Joe. Which one came first, G.I. Joe or Mr. T?
I want to see.
Well, G.I. Joe's older.
G.I. Jones. Oh, so I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember Mr. T. Mr. T. cartoon came out early as well.
Yeah, it did.
And
it did.
His was so heavy in the moral standings on that one.
Was it very much was? We love and Mr. T.
After at the end of it, it would be him live. You know,
I'll pity the fool, you fucker. I'll pity. He didn't say fucker, but yeah, he did that.
Look at my mohawk.
Get my goddamn mohawk alone, my gold, you bitch. No, he didn't say that. Yeah. But we love Mr. T. I mean,
and they both came out in 1983.
Okay, so they're both 1983. They all had a very inspirational message for the youth. And those messages we take to heart to this very day. We still use those messages.
But don't you feel kind of like icky that the government came and forced them? Because at first, those cartoons that came out did not give an ethanol.
Well, the only time I ever felt icky was going to Catholic school in the 1980s. That's a whole other story. But I think Mr. T gave us a lot of, you know, way we can, like, grasp our fucking dreams, you know, and move forward. Mr. T was one of the first black people, on the cartoon. I think he was the only one I've ever heard of that had his own cartoon. Isn't that true? I mean, am I wrong?
There was another cartoon about a group of black kids. That were in.
They would never let a group of black kids together, not in the 1980s.
What about Fat Albert?
Yeah.
Oh, that was distortionist. Fat Albert? Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. That's how all the, you know, the petty name calling the bullies came from Fat Albert. That's what I'm going to say. I'm just going to say it. All right. It's not that I don't like Fat Albert. Fat Albert's great. I mean, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby. Now, look what Bill Cosby's been doing. He's over. I'm not going to get into it, but we know. We kind of know. That Albert could have been doing the same thing Bill Cosby's doing. I mean, it's the same guy. I mean, wasn't it? He was like, you know. You know what he was doing. Can I say it? Yeah, you want some of this GMB? What's that shit called? GHB? In your Kool-Aid or your Pudding Pops? No, that's crazy.
Just to let you know that the Harlem Globetrotters and the Jackson 5 had a cartoon in the 70s. So there were...
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's right. The Jackson 5 had that's true.
Crap, those were so horrible.
You're going to make me want to watch it. I don't know why, but I have to see it. I love those kind of cartoons.
And didn't, like, the Globetrotters do, like, a crossover with, like, Scooby-Doo?
Yes.
Yep.
A few times.
That's why they did it. So they did a crossover first, and then they got kind of popular, and they were like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give them their own cartoon.
Let's go to Scooby-Doo, Mr. T. They were everywhere. The Globetrotters, they were all over the cartoon syndicate. I remember that shit. But so we know the cartoons that kind of developed our lives and kind of molded us kind of in a way, either it was a good way or a bad way. But the moment we've all been waiting for, the top 10
Rickety Rocket.
Rickety who?
Rickety Rocket was a cartoon that was all black cast. It was a group of kids and teenagers
Rickety Rocket.
Had a spaceship that talked, I'm Rickety Rocket, and they would go off on adventures.
It was from
1979 to 1980.
Rickety Rocket? How many seasons was it?
Rickety.
1979. Oh, that's only one. That's one season. That's one season. I never heard of that one.
Yeah, there were a segment on the Plastic Man comedy and adventures.
Okay.
I'm looking at this right now, Rickety Rocket. Rickety Rocket. My God. Why do they make the damn rocket look ghetto as hell?
That's stereotypical black. It's blaxploitation. It's blaxploitation, but in cartoons, you know. But let me.
Of course, the girl got Afro puffs.
She's got Afro puffs. She's kind of loose.
She rocks and stuff with her
Afro puffs. Hey, Rocco. Poor Rickety Rocket. I have to look this up. I've never even heard of it. My bad.
Back to the 80s.
So, but let me interject. So, the top 10 Saturday morning cartoons of all time, and this list wasn't easy to make, but we've narrowed it down to the absolute classics. Let's dive right in. At number 10, what do you guys think at number 10 is the top 10?
Are we guessing?
Like, I mean, you could guess it. I mean, I could... Well, if,
are you asking for our opinion?
I'm asking for, well, you can say your opinion, but I'm going to tell you what the statistics say. What's your opinion, LB?
I'd rather hear the statistics.
Okay, let me tell you.
And I come pissing.
Coming in at number 10, guys, the Smurfs. 1981, yes, 1981 to 1989. Fun fact, over 256 episodes aired, making it one of the longest-running Saturday morning cartoons ever. The merchandise overhaul, $4 billion in global sales. These little blue guys kept us glued to the screen for nearly a decade. Can't forget Gargamel, Azrael, always so close to catching that little cat. But LV, do you have any thoughts on the Smurfs? Me and my mom used to watch it religiously. Did you ever watch the Smurfs?
I never could fathom why Gargamel was after the Smurfs or how he found them. Like, I seriously think, like, he just happened to eat one of those mushrooms.
Right.
And then started hallucinating little people coming out of the houses on
that. What was that guy's name who created the mushroom with LSD?
It made kind of sense to me. And I get a real deep satisfaction when they knock the ever-loving shit out of Brainy Smurf.
I can't stand Brainy Smurf. I knew a few Brainy Smurfs in my life. They were all horrible. What I was, wait. You said you liked him? Well, what do you mean, Cranium?
Yeah, I liked Brainy Smurf.
Why? What was so good about Brainy Smurf?
Because he kept everybody in line.
No, he did.
Hey, are you blue MFs?
He was a house nigga or a towel teller. He was a towel teller. That's what he was. He was like, if you put Brainy
Smurf. He was a popo.
Brainy Smurf was the equivalent that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Now, if you know who I'm talking about, if you've ever watched The Boondocks, he's a Rufus. What's the guy's name? The one with the
Ruckus.
Uncle Ruckus. That's Brainy Smurf to me. I don't like that. Don't be a snitch. Snitches get stitches. That's what I'm saying. They do. I'm going to put it around with that.
I hate that.
Why do you hate it? It's the real. It's the real on it. Okay, so number nine, guys. Garquil.
Hold on. You didn't ask me about Smurfs.
Okay, what do you think? Okay, you've told me. I mean, we're going to do it for the audience. But you've told me you hate the Smurfs. You have. I know it.
But that's a great example of the idea of surpassing the actual product.
Okay.
The idea of the Smurfs, the ideas of those characters became iconic. So the money that they made was from merchandising. It wasn't from the cartoon itself.
Right.
Because the idea of those characters, the idea of the Smurfs just was so good that it carried the crappy production value.
Okay, so it's telling me you're being really harsh, bro. You're being really harsh on the Smurfs. I don't know. Well, I mean,
I'm being harsh on all of them.
Okay.
You know, I'm being harsh on people who go with nostalgia, say everything is awesome because they saw it as a kid.
Are you going to be okay? You need a therapist. No, here's the situation.
This is my therapy.
Okay, so you hate it. You guys know this is a Norwegian legend of little people living in the cliffs, and they were called elves, that's where it comes from. And they were evil.
That type of mythology is all over the world. It's not just our.
I just picked an old white culture. I didn't really look at it.
The cartoon is from France. Like, the people who created it are French. It's a French company.
What do you think Norwegians are? They're just a little French.
In Norway?
Yeah, it's kind of a little French. They just moved down. They took stuff over, ate some wine.
Geography.
Drank some cheese. Stuff like that. You know. Okay. So where are we at with the Smurfs? I loved it because that's me and my mom's thing. We used to watch the Smurfs.
It's nostalgia.
Kratom, you don't love it because you just don't love it. Why don't you love it? You just don't love it?
Because of the production. If you actually watch those right now, it's very boring. It's very low quality. But once again, the idea is...
Okay.
The idea is what made the money.
Okay, all right. And LV, you love or hate the Smurfs? Because, I don't know.
Listen, all right, I'm high right now. And the bullshit that I said about, you know, what I thought the Smurfs, how the Smurfs came to be.
Right.
Makes a hell of a lot more sense than the actual story.
There's no real story. So I'm
not a fan.
Okay. So we're gonna go two up and one down. We're gonna agree to disagree. Okay. We're gonna make America better by agreeing to disagree. Okay, so number nine, guys, Garfield and Friends, 1988 to 1994. The merchandise sells over $1 billion in book and toy sales. Garfield brought sarcasm and laziness to new heights. Cranium, that's, you know, we love it. Who didn't love this constant battle with Mondays and his love for lasagna? Richard, what's your take on Garfield?
Garfield and Friends. So Garfield is...
Number nine.
Like the Garfield part is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the end Friends part, the little stories on the farm.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Those are really cool characters.
Oh.
They had extremely funny lines.
Okay.
They had a duck that was afraid to swim. So he had a tube. Tube around him
to okay.
go in the water. That tube had a fake head of a duck, and it would walk around, it would move around every time he moved around.
Okay.
If you look to the right, that little duck head moved to the right. If you look to the left, it moves also to the left. That is hilarious. And then okay. they had a chicken that would not leave his egg.
Okay.
Sheldon.
He had his legs in the shell, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Sheldon.
That is amazing. And he had everything in that egg. And then they'll be like, hey, come out and play. He's like, no, I'm playing video games. And you'll hear a video game in this egg. That was amazing.
Now you're making me remember. I see it.
Freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
The pig was kind of be as nice as possible, but he was very dour.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the fucking rooster that was such a jackass.
Like you, yeah, we love it.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That part was 100 times better than the Garfield part.
Well, yeah, you have supporting characters to make stuff make sense, right? Supporting characters are great. You love it.
It was actually thought out.
Mm-hmm.
It was thought out. Okay. Like Garfield was already thought out because it was a comic strip.
Right.
So it really couldn't do anything except what the guy who, Jim Davies, who created the comic strip.
Yes.
That's as much as they could do.
I like that you know all the... You really like this one.
Really enjoyed it. And it was really well written.
Okay. It was I didn't even realize... I thought you hated Garfield. Maybe I know it wrong.
No, yeah. I'm not that bad about Garfield.
Okay.
Garfield. And Friends.
Throw away Garfield, but keep the Friends is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Keep the Friends.
You got it.
And I did like... Normal was pretty funny because... Garfield really hated him for no reason.
Because he
showed up being nice.
I mean, it's okay. Well, we're just going to move on from there. LV, what do you think?
You like about Garfield? And I'm already taking over the host. What did you think about Garfield?
Go ahead, ask him shit, clearly.
You know what? You nailed it 100%.
Sheldon is the man.
Sheldon. I don't know if Sheldon, okay.
Like, just like how you Garfield said, like, he'd be playing video games inside of Sheldon. Even like when they're all walking around, sometimes he falls into shit or like into some things
that you hear things breaking in his shell.
Yeah,
that is awesome. He had like a whole world in there. It was great.
Yeah,
yeah. There was a couple episodes of that too, where they took you in the shell. Kind of situation. Yeah, I remember.
No, they never did that.
Okay, whatever. So he's gonna call me a liar on my own damn show. Well, that's fine. I got some view, buddy. Okay, I could be. I am a little older than what I used to be. That happened. All right, guys. So number eight. My personal favorite, and I know you guys are going to love it too because it's my personal favorite, The Thundercats, 1985 to 1989. Before I do this, why haven't they made a real action movie, The Thundercats, and why is it Samuel L. Jackson playing Lionel? What's the gray one? The Lothandro. Luther, whatever the fuck. Why is he playing that guy?
It would not be.
Why is he playing that guy?
He's not going to play Panther. He's already too old.
But yeah, he can't play. Stop it.
That passed away, and he talks to them in the spirit.
Jaga, right?
Jaga's in there.
Jaga. He can play Jaga. He'd be an awesome Jaga.
Well, that's what I'm understanding. Netflix, come on, listen. Give us a Thundercats. We've been waiting for what's it been, 40 years? Let's do this shit.
I haven't been waiting.
Just stop it.
I can live without it.
Don't do it. Don't.
I have a fear about this because, like, right now I'm picturing Thundercats, but I'm just getting horrible CGI visions when they tried to do Cat.
No, stop. No. Don't do that. Don't bring a New York, a Broadway show into Thundercats. These are two different realms.
I have a feeling they are going to Sonic the Hedgehog the shit out of it into the live-action Thundercats.
I don't know about that. I think if they did it the right way, they had the right... If you did it like Rick... what's that guy's name? Snyder. The freaking, the dude that does the thing. That guy would do an amazing Thundercats. An amazing Thunder. And why aren't we reaching out to that guy? Where is he at? He should be.
No, because nobody knows his name because he's the dude that did the theme.
Well, okay, so you know what I'm talking about. The Snyder guy with the S-N-Y-D. That's not even how you spell Snyder, just so he knows. But that guy,
the Justice League guy.
Do you know what I'm, the Justice League guy?
There you. Oh, no way. I'm not a big fan. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him.
Okay, why?
That's a whole different podcast.
But why? Okay, give me just a glimpse. You don't have to take me in a deep dive. Why don't you like him? What's going on?
Oh, it was because he took my favorite superhero and turned him dour.
You love this dour thing. What's this thing about? Is this like demure? Demure, cutesy, prep, and pump. No?
I said it twice.
Okay, well, I mean...
Yes. Yeah, not Zack Snyder.
Not Zack Snyder? Okay, Zack, that's what you could have told me. You know, you let me go around the building. You could have just let me through the entrance. So, Zack Snyder, what about the other guy? The guy, Chris Nolan.
Guys, let's go back to Thundercats.
Okay, well, this is still Thundercats. What about Chris Nolan? Chris Nolan?
No, he's not going to do it.
Why would he do it?
No big director is going to do it.
Why?
Especially him.
He's our generation, isn't he?
That's not his fame.
Oh, I don't like that.
I was surprised that he fucking did Batman.
Why? He did an amazing job on Batman. Amazing.
He did, but I'm surprised that he did it.
Hmm.
And that's not usually his bag if you watch his other movies.
I mean, Tim Burton would make it stupid. I mean, I would say Tim Burton.
I have another problem with Tim Burton.
Oh, Jesus. What's wrong with Tim Burton? He just...
It's a Thunderbat.
Okay, done. It's not Thunderbats. It's Thundercats. So Thundercats merchandise sales over 200 million in the 80s. Thundercats. These Space Warriors had us all shouting, ho! But anywho, and dreaming of a world of adventure. I mean, I love the Thundercats. So, I mean, aside from the Silverhawks, the Thundercats is my bit. I don't mean like that, but you get me. Right?
So the idea of Thundercats is amazing, and some of the episodes are actually really good.
They're scary, bro. Do you know the backstory on some of this shit with Mumra?
Are fucking great.
Yes. Yes. Why can't we have...
I'm trying to remember the other villains.
It was Mumra. Mumra was the supreme villain.
I can tell you. So there's Mumra, who was the leader. Who was the one from that movie. And he was... he was a frog-ish frog lizard.
Oh, yeah. The frog lizard. I forget his name. Froggy?
Monkey Man.
Monkey Man, yep.
Sherman.
Oh, yep.
Fox Man.
There's a lot of mans.
Yeah, but then I like the characters from the moon.
What about Snarf?
White, and they all had different powers.
Yeah.
Those bad guys were really cool.
Didn't you love Snarf? Weren't you a Snarf guy? I thought you were a Snarf guy.
No.
Stop it.
He was cool character, but I wasn't.
I think you used to love
it. Shitara was awesome.
Well, Shitara's she's a humanoid. Well, wait.
All of them are.
Well, I know.
I will admit that I did have a crush on Shitara.
Well, Shitara is an animal woman. That's gross. Don't do that. That's nasty. All right. Well, huh?
That's not how they drew her.
No, see, that's...
They drew her like a woman.
No. See, what you guys are doing is you're making a cartoon character provocative. And that's weird.
That's what we did, and I didn't create that show.
Well, you just said. Yeah. You just said you would go to bed with her and have kids. That's what you said.
I did not. I'm just admiring.
You're just admiring her from
that
afar.
Her
fine cat ass is purring everywhere and eating kibble.
What, 1985? I was 7.
That don't mean nothing. I was in heat when I was 8.
7 too.
1980. Yes. What were you? I was 5. I think.
You're younger than me.
Well, who is?
Alex is 1 year younger than me.
Yeah, I know he is. He is 1 year younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, now this one, I think we can all agree upon Batman the Animated Series from 1992 to 1995. The ratings, 2 million ratings per episode, but it had massive critical acclaim. This wasn't just a cartoon; it was a cinematic masterpiece. Dark.
And why isn't it number one?
It just didn't get there. It didn't have enough credence.
Feeling what number one is going
to
be.
You're going to be very surprised. Dark, gritty, and introduced us to Mark Hamill's legendary Joker. Biggs, what's your take on Batman the Animated Series? And remember that guy just passed away. So just.
That guy.
That okay. You know what I'm.
The voice of Batman.
The guy who played Batman. The voices. You know what I'm talking about.
He's a terrific voice actor.
Yeah, Kevin
Conroy.
Yes. I knew Kevin Conroy. Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, he had that voice down solid. I mean, it was stern.
Oh, yes.
It was intimidating. I loved the Joker. The Joker is one of my favorite comic book characters of all time.
Oh, no, he was, because Mark Hamill's a Joker is the amazing Joker. Like, he's the one you hear in your head,
Second to none.
Well, I mean, Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson. There's a couple.
Third to none?
Third to none. Plus Third to none.
The way how they did it.
Okay.
Instead of using clear and white cells, they were using darker cells to give the whole thing
completely black.
Yeah, black, and then they put the white on it. Yeah,
For the effects that they had, and it just—I mean—it added so much more.
It is very noir, very demure,
dark and gritty,
very cutesy.
Yes, very.
Yeah, Carnian, what do you think about it? Well, I know because I've known you for a long time. I know how you feel about it, but what do you really believe in it? What do you think about it?
One of the greatest cartoons ever made.
I knew.
Beginning to end. I just read the Bible of the cartoon, of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that they wrote in that Bible is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
From the original concept, which they only tweaked a little bit.
Yeah.
Each character, the artwork of the character, Paul Dini, is great. One of the greatest comic book artists ever.
Okay.
They did everything right. Did everything right. It was a mini movie.
Every episode
was a mini movie. Even when there was a part one or part two.
They did amazing.
Each one was a mini movie.
Yes, it was true.
And they reinvented Mr. Freeze to be one of the greatest.
That's super true.
Ever.
Yeah. Penguin and Scarecrow.
Yeah. He was basically a super gangster.
Mm-hmm.
That was freaking awesome. Yeah. It made Scarecrow scary.
Yeah.
The episode where he threw fear toxin on Batgirl.
Yeah.
She imagined the police going after Batman and Batman versus her dad to the death.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wakes up and it was just all because of the fear toxin.
It's crazy.
That is one of the greatest episodes ever.
Yeah.
Even the ones that don't have like a really big bad guy. Like with that gangster, with that old gangster,
and his
buddy old gangster was dying.
Yeah,
that was the ending. Was so sad on the train tracks.
Yeah,
man, that cartoon.
I would say that's the Batman. That's the Batman. That's like Dick Tracy. When I think of Dick Tracy, like old school Dick Tracy, that was that kind of era. I would blend those two in, and that Batman and the theme song.
They both came out in the 30s.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Some of the episodes didn't have a main villain.
No.
Another one that stood out was it was some geeky guy that everybody thought killed Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That was awesome.
He had the hold of the cowl or some crap or whatever the hell it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cape and cowl.
I don't remember that.
And then like him like getting so much respect in prison because they're like, oh, look at him. He's the one that almost got the Batman.
I see that shit, that was really good.
And speaking of Joker, how amazing was that episode where the regular Joe like cuts off Joker and Joker stops him, and instead of like hurting him or killing him, he just takes his ID and he says, if I ever need a favor, I'll be back. And then like years later he comes back and forces him going to the police department with a cake and Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my lord, that was awesome. Fantastic storytelling.
Yeah,
master storytelling.
That is very masterful.
Every episode
is great.
The robot one where the androids were trying to take over.
Yeah.
AI.
Yeah.
And there was a part one, a part two, and then how they animated the robots and fighting Batman, where they go on all fours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's crazy. No, I remember that one. Yeah. And if you think about it,
that was Mr. Freeze, Hard Advice.
Hard Advice, yeah. If you think about it, guys, that theme song, when you hear it anywhere, you'll run to wherever that theme song is playing because it just brings you in, like if you're
that's
Batman.
Amazing.
That's an amazing thing.
And it's not just a theme song, it's the songs inside the show, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you were when Batman's about to do something cool and it goes, fantastic.
It is good. It is good.
From start to finish, it should be number one.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, we're going off statistical facts. And we know how we feel about it. I agree with you. It should be either number one or number two. But here you guys, this is one that I really think that you both will feel should be either at least a top five. It's not. It's number six. It is X-Men, the animated series, 1992, 1997. Ratings dominated the early 90s with over 5 million viewers an episode. This show pushed Marvel Comics into the mainstream and tackled real-world issues. Cranium, how do you feel about that show?
Actually, I think Superman put comic books into the mainstream, and that's still when the movie came out. But anyway,
we can say that. We digress a bit.
The cartoon was really good.
Yes.
There's some episodes that are not so good, some episodes that are amazing.
Right.
Anything that had to do with the Phoenix.
The storyline
with the Phoenix was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
The second storyline with the Dark Phoenix is some of the best thing I've ever seen.
Yes, yes.
When she grabs Juggernaut with the Phoenix Force and throws him into the horizon, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Freaking fantastic. The characters are amazing.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the animation was okay. Sometimes that animation was amazing.
Right.
The last season sucked because they took away most of their money.
Right.
So they can't be blamed. It's the company.
Yeah.
Be blamed.
Always. And now, have you got LV? Have you seen X-Men 97? The one they're doing on, tell me about it.
It went through it like a couple
weeks
ago. Phenomenal. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Alex, have you seen it?
Yeah, Gambit.
Gambit.
Oh, I'm about to do some crazy shit today.
Oh my God. Right.
Mm hmm.
That was such an oh my god moment. I was like sad. If like he just went out the way he should have, just a badass.
Wait. What are you talking about? They killed Gambit?
I'm guessing you didn't watch it.
I've been busy. I haven't seen it yet, but
let's go back to the 90s X-Men then.
Okay. What happened?
So they kill Morph.
Well, yeah, we know that. That was like the second episode. That was a given. We all remember that
shit.
He does
come back because of Mr. Sinister, so.
Look, we didn't even care when they killed Morph. I didn't care. I was like, who the fuck is Morph? What the fuck? But no, I remember they killed Morph, yeah.
Well, he also died in the comic books. His, like, third or fourth.
And then he died in the movie? Didn't he die in one of the movies, too? I don't remember, but.
No. He wasn't in the movies.
He wasn't in the movies. Oh, sorry.
You're talking about Darwin. Darwin died.
Well, Darwin shouldn't have died. He's invincible. He should not have died.
Yeah, exactly. He's
supposed to be damn near invincible, yeah.
Yeah, he can't die.
They killed him. That's another podcast because I'm not a fan of those movies. Let's go back to the cartoon.
We'll go back to the cartoon.
That's fantastic.
And by the way,
this is what we're doing.
Sheldon Cooper on here.
Now, this is part of it. But
don't you worry, I'm not a fan of that show either.
Okay, that's another podcast, but in this particular one, you guys know that this is one of the best things that ever came out of the 90s. People are still trying to imitate it. Even when we talk about X-Men 97, that's a direct shoot of the X-Men 90s that we grew up with. The ones with the theme song. Dun, 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 dun. You guys don't remember it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's great. So, tidbit, just another personal thing.
Yeah.
Is they did several episodes about time traveling.
Yeah.
First with Bishop.
Yeah.
And then with Cable going over what Bishop did. And then Bishop going over what he did.
So right.
They did that freaking fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Beautifully done.
Oh, yeah.
They did not skip a beat on. They did Bishop coming to the past trying to kill Gambit.
Yeah.
And they figured out that it wasn't Gambit. It was really Mystique. So they had to save the senator.
Yeah,
and then
I remember that one.
The senator Bishop went back to the past. He found out that it was still horrible.
Yeah,
so he goes back to the, or he went to the future. He goes back to the past,
mm-hmm.
and he's following himself.
Yeah,
to try to stop it. Well, he did save it. He did save his future this time, but it screwed up Cable's future. So Cable went to the past.
Yeah.
Followed both Bishops to try to go and save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured out because there was a disease that was going to kill on me.
No, I remember that disease.
Put it in Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolverine's mutant powers
killed it.
Created an antibody.
Yeah.
Freaking fantastic. And then the ultimate bad guy of everything was Apocalypse. Come on.
I love Apocalypse. When Apocalypse is done right, as you used to call me back Thanos back in the day, when they're done right, they're really, really good. They're great characters, especially Dark Seed.
Those characters.
Yeah.
Anyways, comic books is
a Dark Side
podcast.
Yeah.
Because I could talk about comic books forever.
I know. Fantastic. Okay. Well, hold up, guys. Because
X-Men was the first comic book I've ever read.
Oh, X-Men's amazing.
Second, but
yeah.
X-Men is the one that I fell in love with.
Yeah. LV, do you have anything to add to this X-Men extravaganza?
No. What's your favorite character? Honestly, mine always was Gambit.
I'm a Gambit.
He was just a smooth character overall, and then when you get into his backstory and how fucking tragic it is,
yeah,
and you like some of the horrible things that he has done,
mm-hmm.
and then still trying to find his retribution.
I'm about to make a name for myself in a day.
Yeah, so I mean the character himself, I just find very endearing.
Yeah, he's a good character.
I enjoy it, and plus
And he's a Creole Cajun. We love those. Those are our favorites.
He's Cajun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cajun, Raging. Raging, Cajun. What about you, Cranium? Who's your favorite character in X-Men?
Specifically for the cartoon, it would be Cyclops. Cyclops, there is no X-Men without Cyclops.
Okay.
He is everything that represents X-Men is Cyclops. Okay. Where it comes where it means they have to protect humans, even though humans hate them. That is totally Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
He's the ultimate meaning.
He is the ultimate mutant.
I'm sorry.
I'll go for it. What'd you say? What happened?
I was going to say, I want to take a wild guess at what his favorite X-Men character, or what his favorite comic book character is.
Go for it.
Sure, go ahead. In X-Men? Like, X-Men related? I want to say Sabretooth.
Oh, yeah. He loves Sabretooth.
I love Sabretooth. Sabretooth is a fan. Everything that I like about fiction and anything, especially things that informed my taste, like mm-hmm. vampires with their claws and their teeth, werewolves mm-hmm. with their bestiality, serial killers.
Excuse me, sir?
Henchmen.
Assassins. Yeah.
I love those characters.
Uh-huh.
And fiction. Sabretooth does all of those.
Yeah.
All of those. Somebody who psychologically messes with you before he tears you apart.
Yeah.
That is what Sabretooth is fantastic about. He is one of the greatest characters ever created.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He has a great personality for sure. Great personality for sure. I'll say that. All right, guys. I know that, X-Men would probably be its own podcast, and I get it. I totally get it. Everybody loves the X-Men.
Comic books come in their own podcast.
All right.
Anyways, yeah, what's the next cartoon?
Okay, so number five, guys, and some of you may not agree, but it did change the world. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 1987 to 1996. This is my brother's favorite cartoon of all time. Ratings peaked at...
So is my brother.
Yeah, they love... I don't know what it is. I couldn't stand it.
She likes more the comic book than the cartoon book.
Yeah. They peaked at 4.5 billion viewers per episode. The merchandise overhaul was $13 billion in sales. Cowabunga, guys. The turtles were pizza-loving, crime-fighting icons. Let me ask you, LV, what do you feel about the turtles?
Loved them. I was a turtle nerd back in the day, man.
Uh-huh.
I used to love Raphael because he was a smart
ass. Oh, yeah, Raphael's a smart
Out that he's played by Ron Paulson, who went on to do Yakko Warner.
Yakko Warner. Oh, the Warner Brothers and sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were fun. They had, a good amount of action. Some of the funny characters, Bebop and Rockstep.
Bebop and Rockstep. Yeah, I love it.
They had Usagi Yojimbo make an appearance in there.
Mm-hmm.
Leatherhead.
That's a Cajun. Yeah.
Yeah. They had great little, group of villains to go against. And then, of course, Shredder.
Shredder. Who recently died this year, guys. Shredder is no more. He passed away.
Just ruined the mood, why don't you?
Sorry.
I don't want to think about turtles now.
Cranium, what about you?
Especially in a half show.
I want a whole show. I paid for all of it. No, but with that being said, so Cranium, what do you feel about the turtles? I know you were kind of iffy. Are you one way or the other?
No. When I was a kid, I enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
I had a whole bunch of toys. So many toys. for some strange reason, the two toys that I really enjoyed was the Baghdad Turtle.
Right.
Forgot.
The bad guy turtle?
His name was like Slice or something like that.
No.
And the Triceratops from space. That was awesome. That was a freaking great toy. And I would just usually make them fight when I was a kid.
Triceratops from space? I don't remember.
Yeah, those are Triceratops race from space.
Oh.
It was great. You should totally look them up.
I'm gonna do a lot of cartoons this weekend. I mean, going into the weekend. I got to get myself back to where I used to be, but I don't remember Triceratops from space. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, you should totally. I put a whole bunch of pictures on my Instagram of the Triceratops from space because I love them so much.
Okay.
Yeah, so Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, they were two guys that just were trying to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
And created a comic book, Teenage Mutant Turtles, and they fucking blew up.
Yeah.
That cartoon, that movie.
Everything.
Was freaking great. What's burned in my brain.
Yeah.
Raphael.
Yeah.
Saying, Raphael wins 1-2 nothing. That stuck in my brain. Forever. That movie was.
I remember watching that in on HBO because it came on HBO. You know, HBO had that one thing where it came on.
They played movies.
When they played movies, I don't know what they Okay. No, but I mean, Turtles is amazing. I mean, we can't dispute it.
Turtles is great. The song is amazing. I can hear that song over and over. That's fucking, the movie's great. The cartoon, one of my favorite things is, so in the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s.
One of my favorite things that I like about 80s cartoons, so I shitted on the 80s cartoons a lot.
You did.
One of my favorite things is the production value. They put almost everything on the show's credit.
Yeah,
in the beginning.
Yes,
the opening sequence.
Yeah,
they put so much production value. They no matter did. What cartoon you say,
the best theme songs, like the whole
theme song, the direction of that, the sequences, it's just in your face. Hey, watch this cartoon. Buy the toys. By the cereal.
Yeah.
It's just that thing. And one of the greatest ones is
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
When they jump out of the van
and
the lines are behind them, you know, and then when they're saying each individual name and they're doing stuff, and Raphael's fucking breakdancing, and Michelangelo throws a pizza on the screen, everything.
This is what made us love pizza. This is what made us love pizza. I think they created the pizza craziness.
Pizza made me love pizza. Let's not go crazy.
Well, okay. We'll go crazy.
Pizza before the cartoon came out. Pizza is amazing. It's one of the greatest foods ever.
You like this.
The production value of just the title sequence. Freaking fantastic. No matter what cartoon you think of.
Okay. Well, LV, do you have anything?
Yeah.
You have anything to add to this pizza turtle phenomenon that we're talking about?
Iffy on the Michael Bay rendition.
Oh, don't bring Michael Bay into this. Why?
But I actually enjoyed the second one.
Did you? Okay. Not
really. The second one, yeah. Part one, when I went to shoot, because my cousin forced me to go to the theater.
Yeah.
And to see the first one, and I was like, and by the end, I was like, all right, I get it was all right. Yeah, it was pretty good. It didn't suck, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't horrible.
You then... Because we watched the first one, we went to the second one in movie theaters.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, when you go to what...
We did a really good job in the second one.
Well, that was one of the first times you took a cartoon that was, like, that big and made it into a live action. It was, like, one of the first times
once again, I think Superman in 1978.
They didn't really... That's not what I'm saying. I'm not even saying that.
The calm, but...
You know what I mean. We weren't around then. We were not there. We weren't there, is what I'm telling you.
I was born in 78.
You were born in 1928. Okay. Well...
No, Superman came out in 1938.
Okay, were you born in 1938? I don't think you were.
Well, I was born in 78, so when Superman came out, the year Superman came out.
Okay, I was born when the year that aliens...
A man can fly when I was born.
I know, and I think you still do. That's the... All right, but here, guys, number four.
Next
Number four.
Well, number four, and I think it's going to be everybody's favorite. I think we're all going to be in agreement. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? 1969 to present. Merchandise sales over 1 billion worldwide. I would imagine it'd be a lot bigger. But Scooby-Doo and the gang set the standard for mystery comedy. LV, how did this resonate with you when you were a kid? Did you love Scooby-Doo?
Honestly, Scooby-Doo wasn't like one of my top.
Oh, come on. Come on, buddy.
More of a slapstick comedy. Yeah. That's why I love Tom and Jerry and all that shit.
Right.
Scooby-Doo was okay.
Yeah.
But, like, let's be honest. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So I couldn't follow clues worth a damn.
Those were not real clues.
And they weren't even real clues. You're just.
So, like, me feeling like an idiot when they're popping off some monster's head to reveal old man,
but what
is, sir,
yeah.
Somebody, you know, this grumpy. Like, why did it always have to be ghosts?
Let me just tell you, I think what Scooby-Doo taught us.
They weren't always ghosts.
What Scooby-Doo taught us was that the monsters are real, but they're people. Is what they told me. Yeah.
Humanity is really monsters.
We're the monsters. Correct. We are the monsters.
That is correct.
But I love Scooby-Doo. I had a big old Scooby-Doo doll. It was about as tall as me when I was a kid, so about 6'3". And I loved it. I mean, I slept with that dog every night. Sometimes I thought that me and the dog were going to, you know, do more. But we didn't. So with that being said, yeah. Cranium, what do you think about Scooby-Doo? What's the rundown?
Back to in the beginning of the podcast when I was like, Hanna-Barbera, their ideas were way better than the actual
implementation. Right. Okay.
Yeah. And Scooby-Doo was their best idea. The four teenagers, they with different personalities.
One smoked weed, one ate a lot.
To be.
Was a lesbian.
Later, he's a vegetarian, though.
Okay.
You know, each one had different personalities.
Yeah.
They all had specific roles in the group.
Yeah.
Especially Scooby-Doo.
They were swingers.
Everything was, and they did a really good job with the concept, the creation of the concept.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a big fan of the original cartoon. I was a big fan of the remake cartoon. I was a big fan of the other remake.
So you're saying you don't like, you didn't think that Freddie Prinze Jr. hit the mark? You don't think it?
No. The movie was good, but okay. It's not because of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay.
The movie was good because of What's-His-Face from Guardians of the Galaxy. Forgot his name.
Michael Pine? Chris Pine?
No, the guy who created Guardians of the Galaxy, who the director wrote and directed.
Oh, you're talking about Zack Snyder?
I wish you were here so I could throw a shoe.
I don't remember. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I know you're going to. But I know that you love this director because he's done a lot.
There you go.
James Gunn, two ends, boom, boom.
And what about
he wrote? Oh, he did a great job.
No, he did a great job.
He wrote Scooby-Doo, and I'm not 100% sure if he directed it.
Yeah.
Let me see. Nope, he didn't direct it, but he wrote and produced it.
Yeah.
He's a great talent.
No, he's a great talent. And you know, they had a...
He's the reason why the movie was good.
No, he was good. I'm going back to the Guardians of the Galaxy just for a real quick minute.
No. Going back to Scooby-Doo, what I was going to say before I was interrupted. They did 1,000 remakes, 1,000 cartoons. They did straight-to-DVD movies.
Yes.
I was never, ever a fan of any of them. Except when in 2010,
right. They
did almost kind of a reboot.
Okay.
Called Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
Oh, I remember that.
That cartoon
is
fantastic.
Did you watch the new one?
Characters perfectly. No. They did the characters perfectly.
She's a lesbian.
And they, throughout the story, they were actual real supernatural thieves. There were real ghosts, the real monsters that they had to capture.
Okay.
And then at the end, they destroyed all magic in the world.
You can't destroy all the magic in the world.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
They saved the world and destroyed all magic.
Ridiculous.
So then they were like, hey, should we... And it took place in their town.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, the last episode, after they destroyed all magic, they said, hey, now that we graduated, we want to go take this show on the road? And they're like, sure. So it was the precursor. the prequel to the original cartoon. And that's why the original cartoon, there were no ghosts or monsters. There were just real people because they destroyed all magic in the world.
Oh, awesome as that. That's pretty awesome. Did you watch a... That is very fantastic. Did you watch A Pup Named Scooby-Doo?
No.
Why?
I saw a couple episodes. I was like, this is crap.
I'm going to be serious.
Are you being serious?
100% serious.
Okay, 100% serious.
I'm not a fan of any of those.
Okay, okay.
I'm not a fan of Scooby-Doo when there were little a pup named Scooby-Doo. I wasn't a fan of none of them except for Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated.
LV, what do you think about it? What was your favorite Scooby-Doo? Because there's a lot of iterations of Scooby-Doo in that time period.
Honestly, I found the live actions entertaining.
You did?
Because of James Gunn.
Yeah. Well, I think it means more Freddie Prinze Jr. But,
well, of course you would.
Wow. Wow. Really? You're doing that again? Okay.
I have kids at least my age. Also like Linda Cardellini.
Yes. The Cardellini. Oh my.
Linda Cardellini and anything. She's amazing.
Who is that?
She played Velma.
She played Velma, yeah.
Velma's a lesbian.
Only in one cartoon. And well, not in the other cartoons. Okay. She had a crush on Shaggy. So
really?
Sexual.
I've never heard of that. A crush on Shaggy. When was this? I never heard of this. When did that happen? I never saw that. Come on, I mean,
Scooby-Doo, Mystery Incorporated.
Okay, well, okay. Maybe I'll just take a look at it on the Sunday. I'm just not doing any. Okay, so well, Scooby-Doo. Of course,
Freddie Prinze Jr. half Puerto Rican.
Who?
Just thrown out there.
Well, I know that.
Jr.
That's not why I like him though.
I never put two together on that one because he is so unapologetically white looking.
He is he's whitewashed. He's like Carlton.
Apologize.
Well, it's not. We're not apologizing.
Puerto Ricans are a third Spanish, which from Europe, so that is white. So.
That's about as white as you're gonna get.
Puerto Rican at all? I mean, he looks more like bird shit white.
Like, ooh, bird shit white. I love that. What kind of hue is that? Is it a hue?
Must be from his mom then, because his dad is straight up Puerto Rican.
You gonna bring his mom into it?
Pretty friends.
Well,
you remember him?
Well, yeah. Before he commits,
go on the man.
He committed suicide. He just, he jumped out of a window or threw himself out of a door. What did he do? How did he do it? Anyone want? No, you know what? This is a cartoon-friendly show. We're not gonna do that.
He shot himself.
No, because this is Saturday morning cartoons, and we don't want to do that. We want to keep it.
All right. So what's the next one?
Okay. All right, guys. So number three, are you ready? Looney Tunes, The Bugs Bunny Show, 1955, 1969. The ratings averaged over 6.3 million viewers per episode during its prime. Looney Tunes pioneered the Saturday morning cartoon format with brilliant slapstick and satire. Cranium, what's your take? What do you think about Looney Tunes? I know you like it. Well, how much do you like it?
So I love Looney Tunes. I already spoke about it.
Yes, you did. You did.
The greatest cartoon ever created. But in the 50s, when they started putting them in the Saturday morning cartoon, they were just basically rerunning all the cartoons that came out in the movie theater.
Yeah.
From the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Right.
Mary Melody.
Mary Melody's is good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. And some of the greatest characters, too. Mm-hmm. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck is my favorite. Porky Pig.
Yeah.
Yosemite.
Your family Freya.
God, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Dodo, the Dodo Bird, the Dodo, the Dodo. The
Dodo, the Dodo, the Dodo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Some of them are funny. And then they're so funny.
Yeah.
There are half the jokes are adult.
I'm thinking about 85%.
Basically made for adults.
Yeah.
They were right before adult movies, so of course. Yeah,
pretty much.
They tuned it down now. Mm-hmm. Pun intended. so the greatest, some of the greatest cartoons. Mel Blanc, one of the greatest voice actors ever.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Like I said, the directors that actually wrote Looney Tunes. Like I was saying, like Bob Clampett.
Yeah.
It was fucking fantastic.
Who was the guy who did the most of the voices? What was this guy's name?
Mel Blanc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Frizz Freeze.
Mel Blanc.
Another extremely
Fritz Freeling. Director. I remember Fritz Freeling.
Created them.
Yeah.
You know, did most of the cartoons as well.
Yep.
And then I'll even say Chuck Jones, because he did win several awards, and he has some of the well, some of the best cartoons that are not Looney Tunes character based.
Right.
That he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, those guys, fantastic.
Yeah. No, they did. Fantastic. They did an amazing job.
Oh, this is one of the greatest things ever.
Who?
Termite Terrace.
Oh, yeah.
It was the little shack.
Yeah.
They called the little, but they called the little shack that they worked in because there was a lot of termites. And Warner Brothers did not want to give them money for a bigger studio. So they called it Termite Terrace.
Termite Terrace. Okay. Okay.
Another cool fact about it that I really enjoy is that the reason why they use mostly classical music is because Warner Brothers did not want to give them money so they can buy songs that are like famous or anything like that. So they'll have to use classical music because nobody was going to sue.
Yeah.
But the only problem was that they can't use other people's recordings. They had to use their own recordings.
No, it's true.
Warner Brothers did not want to give them money to use the Warner Brothers orchestra. So they had to sneak into the orchestra, and the orchestra had to play those classical songs for them. And they didn't play like the whole song. They played like little tidbits, and then we record it and then put in the cartoons.
Yeah. Okay.
We're jerks.
Yeah, they were. I mean, well, it's where they had the money to do these things too. So that's a part. That's a pretty big part of it as well. So
well, Warner Brothers had the money, and they gave them Bupkis, and they turned that Bupkis into a genius.
Yes, it did. They did an amazing job with Looney Tunes. LV, what do you think about it? What's your take on Looney Tunes?
What can't you say about Looney Tunes? I mean, just the humor of them, how quotable they are. You know, from you know, What's Up, Doc? To Where's the kaboom? Supposed to be an
air shaft
kaboom.
To Martian.
Firecracker, sis, boom, Bugs Bunny, rah,
rah, rah.
You're just despicable. Sylvester.
Oh, my goodness.
These, I thought I put it. Exactly.
I did.
I'm surprised that this isn't higher on the list, but I have a feeling, like I said, I think I know what number one is.
You should. I mean, it's pretty evident.
Kind of groaning at it.
It's kind of, I mean, look, guys, I mean, this is, remember, this stuff came out in the 50s, like 40s and the 50s. So, I mean, it is what it is. But while you say that, let's go ahead and get to number two. It's going to be your favorite, favorite. A real American hero. G.I. Joe. Number two, I think that we all, from 1981 all the way up to 1986, G.I. Joe was a format of what we needed to be to make ourselves ready to get into a military situation with our governments. I mean, that's what G.I. Joe gave. Well, come on now.
They did it because of G.I. Joe toy was being outsourced by Star Wars. So they were like, hey, we got to do something better.
Right.
And then they were like, hey, even when He-Man came out, they were like, whoa, we can do exactly just like that.
Yeah.
And they turned it into one of the greatest cartoons ever.
Yeah, G.I. Joe is amazing. I mean, if you were black.
Larry Hama. G.I. Joe comic book. but basically, most of the storyline, the characterization came from him.
Yeah,
I'm seeing the cartoon.
That's true. It's true. And the beauty of G.I. Joe, anybody can be a Joe. You can be a girl, a Puerto Rican, a black guy. You can be a wrestler named Sergeant Slaughter. You can be anybody. A Cobra Commander with a snake for a face, whatever. It was amazing, and that's how they did it.
He was once a man.
He was once a man, twice a woman, three times a child. Whatever you want to say.
No, that's the line. That's the line from the movie.
Oh,
I was once a
man. We love Cobra Commander. He's the gayest.
Cobra Commander is amazing.
He's
no, he was asexual.
No, he was gay.
No, he was asexual.
I happen to know this for I tell you. I'm going to tell you what I know. If you want to know why I tell you?
He's asexual.
I'm going to do what I say. All right.
You saw a movie once?
I saw a movie once with a cobra in it. He just poked that out. Anywho, but I mean, I'm not trying to sully the beauty of G.I. Joe, but
No, that's not sullying. You're gay. You're fine.
I know.
I'm just saying, like, that character was specifically asexual. He didn't want anything.
He wanted another snake. He wanted another snake. We all know it. LV, what do you think about Poor Commander's sexuality? Do you think he was a little snake charmer? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Look, honestly, G.I. Joe wasn't like on my radar.
Come on. Stop yourself.
I got tired of watching them all with their fucking 0% aim percentage going on.
Like, they were just stormtroopers. What are you talking about?
They were like animated stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. I always wondered who the hell like stood by Destro to polish his fucking head.
I did.
He did it himself.
No, it was Lady Destro. Come on now.
It's not Lady Destro.
No, there was like, what was the girl's name with the black hair?
The Baroness. You're thinking of the Baroness.
Yes, and that's what I meant when I said it.
And then those Australian brother twins, and one of them had like a chainsaw.
Nomad and Zaymon, right?
I think they're British.
Are they British?
Well, I could swear Australian.
I like Aussies. They're okay.
I don't know.
Well, so that's
number. That was awesome. Zaymon and Tomax?
So Zaymon and Tomax. Zaymon and Tomax! Yeah. Whatever.
Because their name is backwards and forward.
What do you mean?
Zaymot. You write it backwards and it's Tomax.
What?
Zaymot, X-A-M-O-T. It's you switch it around. T-O-M-A-X.
Oh. Zaymot,
Tomax.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that. Okay, I get it. What do you think about that, LV? You think that's a viable conclusion to twins who are psychopaths?
Hey, whatever works for them. I'm not their daddy.
You could be if you tried. $4.95. No, I'm just kidding.
I give a shit. We'll be chainsaw wielding wackos wherever for Deathstro or whoever's taking the help. Cobra Commander.
Chainsaw wielder was one of the dreadnoughts.
What's a what?
Those are group. They're called the dreadnoughts.
The dreadnoughts.
And they had different weapons, and one of them was the chainsaw. One guy had a chainsaw.
Okay, so you watched every cartoon ever. It's your thing. I get it. I love that.
I'm a perfect. Big nerd.
You are.
You don't remember how big of a nerd I am?
I remember how big of a nerd you are. LV, did you know how big of a nerd this guy? Okay. All right, so.
Well, we're in those now with this podcast. Nerd,
but I would call him a nerd, but well-versed.
A well-versed nerd.
In pop culture.
No, it's good.
Nerd.
That's why he's on the show. We love this. It's our favorite. Okay, guys, so are you ready for the number one undisputed champion of all Saturday morning cartoons? You ready? Okay. Right. He-Man, I have the power! You guys ever watch that show?
Did I ever?
I had a He-Man birthday cake.
I bet you did.
Nice. I think my brother did, too.
I played He-Man in a costume party. So from 1983 to 1985, the merchandise total, guys, over 2 billion in toy sales. I have the power, of course. If you didn't scream that into a broom handle at least once, I know you did, Alex. You even watched this thing.
About maybe $150 to that month.
Well, what do you mean? Come on, just tell me, what does that mean?
The money that they made.
I know you love He-Man.
I contributed about $150 of it.
Now, did you see the He-Man that came on Netflix? From that guy you like, that director. What's the guy's name?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
Okay, well, can you explain to the audience?
You did a very good job.
Okay.
Well, I can explain why He-Man, the 80s version of it, was so good.
Okay, do both.
Well, at least why for me.
Okay.
He-Man was, once again, individual episodes were not that good.
Okay.
But the idea of He-Man is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The concept art of every character is amazing, and the craziest idea when I think about it,
okay,
which is like, that's insane, is Eternia.
Ooh, I love Eternia.
With that site, yeah, Eternia is a planet that they're on. Psychedelic sky. In my head canon, I believe that they're in a crazy ass pocket dimension that warps reality, and that's what gives those powers and character resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Because because that machine man kind of guy, Lockjaw.
Yeah,
how does he survive? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
his memorial can.
Yeah, his jaw is metal. So how is he eating? How is he breathing? Mm-hmm. How is he doing anything?
How is he doing extracurricular?
Skeletor.
Yeah, with that
Skeletor
jaw.
Skeletor is a full bio body, but then a skeleton head. Yeah. How is he surviving? You know what I'm saying? It's a little skeleton head. And I believe it's because of that crazy pocket dimension that they live in.
Yeah.
And Eternity is in. And all those crazy characters can survive with those powers.
Yes, this is
They're
true.
All mutated freaks.
Yeah, they had to figure it out from the beginning. I mean, it's us that can't survive there, if we're being honest. Yeah. What do you think about that, LV? What's going on with that? Do you think, would you be able to survive from Eternia?
Oh, no.
Most ridiculous question I ever heard.
It isn't, though, if you think about it, if you really think about it.
No, it is. I thought about it.
Okay, you thought about it. Okay, good. We figured it out.
Listen, I dislike He-Man because he gave an unhealthy portrayal of what a male body.
Oh, stop. Don't do that. Don't be gay. That's gay.
Much as women, jumping on Barbie's ass because, she was...
Barbie had no ass. That was a problem.
Build abortion, I had a He-Man doll and I looked at him and then looked at my poor kid.
I looked at him and he looked at her.
And then it looked at me and, it was never going to happen. I'm never going to get that fucking 12-pack that He-Man has.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to. You can have a 16-pack.
What kind of midlife crisis were you having as a child?
He was having a lot.
I'm screwed in the head, period. What do you expect from me?
What? How do you not like He-Man?
To not look at He-Man?
Yeah.
Like that? That's what I expected.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Okay.
You want to be a blonde now? You want to be a blonde, blue-haired man now?
Here's the thing. Honestly, I was more of a Thundercat fan than I was a He-Man fan.
Okay.
But, it depends. It depended because, to me... There were better heroes in the Thundercats.
Yeah.
But He-Man had the better villains.
He did. He did. I mean, He-Man had some good villains.
I don't know. Mumra's a good one. Is fucking badass.
He is.
By himself.
Yeah.
You can take everything away from Thundercats. Like, take everything Thundercats away and just leave Mumra. And he's amazing.
Yes. I'll agree. Mumra's a big old bitch. Big old blue bitch. Big old bitch.
Well, I mean... That's just my opinion on it.
Yeah. So you're
me the superhero Chitara, Panthro, Wily Kid, Wily Cat,
yeah,
Snarf and his little metal ass.
Yeah.
Right. All of them. I remember them a hell of a lot more than if it was a He-Man, Teela, Man at Arms.
Remembering very well.
I love it.
There was a whole slew more of them there.
Right.
Fisto. He had a fist. He liked to fist people.
I've actually seen that movie. I would not recommend it. It's horrible.
I think you started that movie.
Wow. Really? So I don't even know where to go with that.
I was younger than my brothers, and my brothers were really obsessed with He-Man. Mm-hmm. And then, so I got obsessed with He-Man.
Right.
And I got the toys and everything.
Yes.
But by the time He-Man was winding down the last, two seasons, they wanted to get a little girl money.
What kind of He-Man was this?
So they created She-Ra.
Yes. My ex loves She-Ra.
I got obsessed with She-Ra. With He-Man, she's awesome. Let her go. And she was a little bit different because He-Man was more of a, there's a problem. Let me punch it in the face. While she actually thought about how to beat the bad guys.
Right.
And didn't just punch people in the face. She worked around it.
Right.
And sometimes she did have to punch people in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But those bad guys, their plans was not just, let me steal something and then He-Man comes and punch me. No, they actually had actual real plans of how to take over the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually had plans to how to stop them.
Right.
It was a really good cartoon. That cartoon production wise.
No, it was good.
Value was better than He-Man.
Name the cartoon. Okay. From She-Ra. Name the co-stars of She-Ra. Do you remember them?
Kind of a little bit.
Okay.
I could tell you the bad guy, Hordak.
Hordak, well, yeah, Hordak was a horror. But the other guys, the other people.
I don't know.
You just went off of this rant, how much you love She-Ra.
Somehow I said, yeah, I love She-Ra.
Okay, not the other.
I did not care about those other princesses. All those other princesses with their unique powers.
They were just show model.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't really a big fan.
Right.
All I cared is She-Ra and how she was going to defeat Hordak. That's all I wanted. And Catra. Catra was awesome.
Catra.
So, yeah, she was a bad guy that she, you know, she had like cat powers.
Are you making up characters? I don't remember a Catra. Are you making up stuff?
Yeah, so watch the Netflix She-Ra. Catra's in there too. The Netflix one was really good.
Okay.
The Netflix She-Ra was amazing. The Netflix He-Man was kind of boring.
It's from one of your favorite directors, from what I understand.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's true.
He's good. Half his movies are good. The other half are just okay.
But you're
thinking about Kevin Smith.
I am.
Yeah, you are.
That's what I'm thinking about. Good.
All right. Good. All right.
So, LV, have you ever watched any Kevin Smith movies that you didn't think were great? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway. Anyway. Well, guys, well said, everyone. It's clear that the Saturday morning cartoons of our past not only entertained, but also shaped a lot of childhood experiences. All of us on this podcast, of course. They taught us lessons, made us laugh, and kept us dreaming. And we wrapped up our segment on tunes, and sugary spoons. Let's remember that these shows, with their unique charm and unforgettable characters, will always have a special place in our hearts. Thanks to our amazing... Okay, go ahead.
No, but...
Yeah.
I mean, throughout this whole thing, I just kept on saying how not very good quality those cartoons are.
Well, you didn't do that. You didn't do that. You had some that you didn't like. Well, you had some you didn't like. You had some you liked.
No, I did it on purpose.
Why?
Because it's true.
Okay, but you had it.
The cartoon, like, if I'm going to talk about not just only 80s cartoons, because that list had a couple of 90s cartoons.
They did. 80s and 90s. That's Saturday morning.
All the cartoons ever. And I'm going to take away
that. Not ever.
Looney Tunes, like I said, greatest cartoon ever.
Okay.
So without mentioning Looney Tunes, if I'm going to talk about the greatest cartoons ever, there's a high chance I'm not going to mention any of the 80s.
Okay, what?
Maybe G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
G.I. Joe's.
That's pretty much it.
Look.
Batman the anime cartoon, when it first came out.
It was 90s.
Every person who inspired to make cartoons looked at that show and said, oh, holy crap, we have to do better.
Yes. I'll agree with that.
We have to do.
Same thing with X-Men. And Beetlejuice.
Really good.
I love Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I wouldn't name it.
It's not the top 10, though. It wasn't top 10.
I would even put part top 10, though.
Mm-mm. It's not top 10. But
the
Smurfs was.
If I was going to put a list of the greatest of my.
What are your top 10? Okay, do your top 10. Both of you, do your top 10. Go ahead.
None of the 80s.
It's okay.
Probably will not be on there.
Do your 10. What's your 10?
I don't have it on me.
Okay,
Batman the Animated.
Right.
These are not in order. I have no idea.
Okay.
Batman the Animated.
Right.
X-Men was fantastic.
Yes.
Adventure Time is freaking great.
That's 2000s. Adventure
Brothers is one of the greatest.
That's early 2000s.
Yeah. Yes. Greatest, one of the greatest cartoons ever created.
Okay.
Gravity Falls is freaking fantastic.
Gravity Falls is good.
One of the greatest cartoons.
Decent.
Justice League is freaking great.
The original or which one?
Superman.
Which one?
Well, both of them. Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Okay.
Amazing. It's the Superman animated cartoon from the 90s.
Okay.
It came right after Batman.
I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Freaking fantastic.
That's good.
Look, I already have 8.
You didn't say anything about the Justice League from the 1970s.
No, I never will.
Okay, so you're being a dick about it. That's okay. You can be a dick about it. It's okay. It's not gonna hurt nobody.
Yeah, I will. Looney Tunes, and maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Animaniac. I will put that up there. Top 10. Animaniacs is my top 10.
Animaniac.
What did I say?
And a Miniman.
No, don't start doing this Ubonics, Ebonics stuff you did. Don't do that. It's not cool. LV, what about you? Top 10.
Praise. That's not one of them.
Honestly, for me, when
that's a different book.
In junior high and high school, yep. I was kind of like, I was in that pocket of the animation renaissance when Steven Spielberg took the helm with Animaniacs, Tiny Toon Adventures.
Oh, I love Tiny Toons. Yeah, Tiny Toons is good.
Freakazoid's
amazing.
Freakazoid was pretty funny.
So ahead of its time.
Invader Zim. No one said Invader Zim.
That was all right.
Dexter's Laboratory. Nobody said Dexter's Laboratory.
But no, I'm not a fan of those.
You don't like Dexter's Laboratory? Were you retarded? Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn.
But what are you not a fan of?
Dexter's Laboratory.
You didn't like Dexter's Laboratory?
It was fun, but Dee Dee was annoying as shit.
That was the point.
That's my only favorite character.
He was too annoying.
Dee Dee, you have went into my room. I love it. Beautiful. Okay.
But for me, I gotta stick with the classics of like Tex Avery cartoons of back in the day. Those are the ones that did it for me.
Okay. Understandable.
Especially like the World of Tomorrow series.
Oh, I love that stuff. But they had the but the narrator, he'd be like, oh, this kitchen can turn into a refrigerator or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we tossed, you know, the stool with a chicken. I created a stool kitchen and it was just a four-legged chicken for no reason.
We love those long-legged four-leggeds. If you get me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long four-legged. Okay, sorry.
Whatever. All right, well,
but
yeah,
the Tex Avery, but didn't he also do the Barbara Seville with Bugs Bunny?
Yes.
No, that was
no, clearly, I'm always wrong.
Chuck Jones.
Chuck Jones.
Those to me will always be masterpieces.
No, those are good ones.
The 80s had some fun flash in the pans.
I love flash.
Calling them like some of the greatest, that's kind of a stretch.
Yeah. Well, I get you. Okay, at the end of the day, we all were in the Saturday morning cartoon era, which does not exist anymore. And we all have our top 10. I was just going off of the factuals, you know, the stuff that made the money. But you're right. Everybody has their own favorites. But the thing is, guys, we all enjoyed that time frame in our lives. And we think about it very fondly. So I will say, what? What? What?
Well, you said that we think about it fondly, and I'm like, no, I kind of don't.
Okay.
I'm ambivalent with it.
Okay, you're ambivalent. Okay, but with that being said, thanks to our...
I ran Contra. Was really bothered when I was a kid.
Okay. I get it. That's not this one. We're going to do a podcast on Iran Contra with Reagan, if you want. But this one is about... Okay. So... And thanks to our amazing panel, LV. Okay.
Before we leave,
yes,
we have to do one thing as a favor since I did this podcast.
And I love it. I love that you did this. And we've been trying to get you this for years, haven't we?
Yeah. I need a favor.
I'll give you a favor. What's the favor?
I need you to say, "Oh, Daria," like Daria's sister.
I don't know if I remember how to do that anymore.
come on.
I'll do my best. Oh, Daria!
That was fantastic. Wow. I fucking love it.
Okay. All right.
You don't even know.
He was a big fan of Daria.
I love Daria.
Yes.
I thought it was funny. And all the characters, the jock, the cheerleader, all of them. Even the sister was really funny. And then this fucking guy comes out to me. And he's like, oh, you know, we're watching Daria. And the sister goes, oh, Daria, and then he just repeats it back, and I just start laughing my ass off.
Wait, how many years ago is that? That's like a...
It was the 90s, bro.
That was the 90s. Oh, my God.
Late 90s, early 2000s. No, yeah, it was the late 90s. Yeah.
You ever do stuff so you don't funny. Remember, but it leaves an impact? Well, there you go.
It leaves an impact to me. It did.
Yeah, some of the moments between the three of us.
A lot of moments. A lot. Well... Thanks to the amazing panel that I had on today, guys. I do appreciate you guys coming on to let me take you higher. LV Biggs, Richard Cranium, a.k.a. Alex, a.k.a. That sounds horrible. But and
speaking of,
yeah,
Popeye was an amazing cartoon.
Popeye was really good.
Let's finish.
Okay. Thanks for joining me on this nostalgic journey. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Until next time, keep those memories alive and keep the cartoons rolling. If you're still, I'm sure they would be. I'm going to split this bitch out. No, I'm just kidding. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Tune in next time for more great discussions. And all as always, keep reaching for those higher notes. Until then, stay tuned and keep the spirit of Saturday morning cartoons forever in your hearts. Thanks, guys, for listening. We appreciate you. And you guys can see LV Biggs. LV, what's your handle for TikTok? Not TikTok, but your streaming account.
You can find me at twitch.tv/LVBiggs. I am a variety streamer, and I am 18 and over.
Yes, he is.
I'm also a channel.
He's, we're all 18 and over.
For mature audience.
He's for mature audiences. Flash in the pan.
For mature audience.
We can do it all, girls. No, and Mr. Richard Cranium, a.k.a. Alex, do you have anything?
Where can people find me?
Where can people find me? At home in your bed. I know you're writing a book.
One arm out of the cover, the other arm inside the cover.
Bro, that is the best. We have to do a podcast on that, but that's another freaking treat. But
that's also for mature audience.
It's very mature.
The mature audiences have seen me do that. They all left.
They've all died. You killed them. Okay, so with that being said...
No, they just stopped going out with me.
They don't pay you money.
One divorced me.
Oh, wow. That's a whole nother podcast. We remember that one. But let us know, what are you doing? Are you doing like a... You're writing a book. I know you've been writing a book. You're doing a manuscript and a script. Where can we find this stuff on the webs, on the social webs?
It's a manifesto.
It is.
It's a manifesto on how I'm going to control my little block of my neighborhood.
Starting with my house.
I'm not
the master of the house yet.
And you've already won. But guys, with that being said, if you have any questions, always you can look us up at letmetakeyouhigherpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on anywhere you get your podcasts. If you have any questions for these two guys, let me know. I'll get in touch with them and we'll figure it out. Thanks again. I've been your host, Mr. Villain, and this has been another episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Have a great night, guys.
Bye.
And Coos teaming up with a good balanced breakfast.
Teaming up with Mr. T cereal. It's getting on the team. The team that knows how cool breakfast can be. You get a crispy corn taste with a touch of brown sugar. Teaming up with Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T. Golden sweet crispy teas. One bite and you're gonna be eaten with the team. That's teaming up with Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T.
Cranium and Biggs, they're here, bringing all the jokes and conquering fear. The Villain Crew Adventure, yeah! Let's go!
And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain, and it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.